So then we carried on with that rhythm, and Sangapala, and I publicly expressed my great gratitude for the extraordinary fortitude of all the Sangapala board members who are, say, helping to administer this movable feast. Suddenly, sort of 11, or no, say, 9 months of quietness and then 3 months of hyperactivity. And that was not an easy thing to look after, so I put my hands together and expressed my gratitude that during those years that the board was really marvelous, incredible in holding it together. Then to fast forward then to 1995. So things had settled down by then. It was 3 years after Lumpur Cha's passing away. The community had stabilized a bit. And we had one of our regular Sangha meetings in England. This was 31st of May. I do remember these dates. 31st of May, 1995. And the Elders' Council agreed, okay, Ajahn Amaro, we're happy for you to make your move to California. You can start looking for land. And we understand Ajahn Visuddhi, another English monk, is ready to accompany you. So you can set up a temporary foothold and look and see if you can find a place. So sahatu. So I was very grateful for that. So that decision happened on the afternoon of the 31st. Early in the morning of June the 1st, 1995, I'm walking down the corridor in the Monks Vihara in Amravati. Ajahn Viradamo, who was the abbot of Amravati at that time, his door was open. He said, Ajahn Amaro, could you come in here a moment? I got some news for you. So I walked in. He said, just got a phone call from Lumpur Sumedho in Long Beach in Southern California. Master Hua has just offered us 120 acres of land. What do you think about that? So, sadhu. So he afterwards he said, I was really impressed with how cool you were in hearing that news. And I said, well, somehow it just wasn't a surprise, or it just seemed like, well, that's the way things work. So the land search took less than a day. And this is Master Hua was on his deathbed at that time. He was extremely ill, and he passed away not long after. And so when Lumpur Sumedho had gone down to visit him with Dhamma Master Hung Shu, he was extremely ill and was very, very close to death at that time. So that offering came from him just at the very last days of his life. So that was the parcel of land in the northern part of this property, and that had had no power, no well, a washed-out access road. But then when we came to Master Hua's funeral in June, and I walked over it with Fred Kral and Debbie Stamp and Skip Blake, when we walked, I mean, we kind of scrambled and clambered around under the bushes. And nearly finished off Skip with a heart attack. But even though it was extraordinarily rough and rugged and undeveloped, and even though it was completely irrational, something in my mind said, this is the place. This is our place. It's perfect. The rational mind would have said, this is ridiculous. You can't even drive a vehicle onto the property, you know. But something completely non-rational in the heart said, here we are. This is our place. And Peter was expressing, it was an extraordinary gift. Master Hua had acquired that piece of property 13 years before. He was of the habit to just pick up different pieces of property and take with an eye to using them for retreat places or Dharma way places in the future. And they picked this up in, I think, 1976 or 77. And I think Hung Shun was part of the group that... You'd acquired it about 13 years before and had never done anything with it. And so he just remembered. There's this 120 acres and Ajahn Sumedho is looking to start a forest monastery. So it was Master Hua's like parting gift. Say, here, Sumedho, take this. And as has been referred to a couple of times this afternoon, Master Hua had a very, very ecumenical approach towards spiritual life. And he'd said... on a very public occasion when we were all at City of 10,000 Buddhas, he said, it had been the dream of my life to bring the northern and southern traditions together again. And I never thought I was going to be able to do it until I met Sumedho. And so it was really wonderful that his parting gesture was, this is a good way to bring the traditions together, to actually put them side by side in the same valley. And he was a person of extraordinarily grand heartedness, incredible generosity. And he wouldn't use words like Mahayana and Theravada. He'd say, you can't use those words accurately. They're not appropriate, really. You can talk about geography. You can talk about northern and southern. That's fair enough. But so really, you shouldn't talk about different traditions or separate traditions. That's not appropriate or realistic. It's not true. So from that time, I tend to say northern and southern tradition rather than Mahayana, Theravada, myself, most of the time.